Pamela Wilson, the CARE Navigator on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. You're with us on the Caring Generation, focusing on the conversation of caring, giving us permission to talk about aging, the challenges of caregiving, and everything in between. Whether you're a caregiver or a person needing care, facing an unexpected situation, or if you're interested in education to help you live a healthier and more informed life, you're in the right place with me every Sunday from 10 to noon. Our website, thecaringgeneration.com, features more than a year's worth of top 10 tip sheets and all of our past programs free for you to listen and share with others. Visit thecaringgeneration.com. Dr. Patrick Sharkey, Assistant Professor of Sociology at New York University, focuses his research on the role that neighborhoods and cities play in generating and maintaining equality or inequality, including the background that neighborhoods play in personal development across generations of family members. His additional research focuses on the consequences of neighborhood inequality for the life chances of individuals from different racial and ethnic groups in America. Dr. Sharkey, good morning. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So let's use Hurricane Katrina as an example of a natural disaster that I like to compare to similarities of a caregiving crisis. Your research reports that the elderly and the Black populations were the most effective. Can you take a step back and just talk about how warnings about this natural disaster are perceived and how people react, or even if they plan?
Sure. In the case of Katrina, we kind of have to think about the meaning of warnings, how they're interpreted by people who may be vulnerable. Like, for instance, the warning to evacuate in New Orleans, this comes, you know, this is not an isolated warning. This comes across every few years, or at least every decade, as residents of New Orleans prepare for potential storms or potential hurricanes. And in fact, the year earlier, when Hurricane Ivan hit, there were substantial problems with the evacuation effort. So it's not just that we have to give a warning to evacuate, for instance, but we also have to understand how those warnings are interpreted. What is the economic context of those warnings? Do people have the resources to act on the dangers that they may face? Do they have the social networks available to find a place to live or to stay for a few weeks or a few months? So we kind of have to consider the context in which these warnings are received, and not just hand out our solution to the problems of people who may be at risk.
Mm-hmm. And in your opinion, why were the elderly and the Black populations more affected than the general population?
Well, this is a complex question. First, the numbers are absolutely staggering. Your last guest actually mentioned a couple of the numbers that I've put forth, but the elderly population was just at extraordinary risk during Katrina. So two-thirds of deaths were to the elderly over age 65 population. Even though this group only makes up 12% of New Orleans population before the storm. So the death rate for the elderly was 15 times as high as mm-hmm. it was for the non-elderly. So old age was far and away the biggest risk factor in New Orleans. And then secondly, among both the young and the old African-Americans were much more likely to die than whites. And what's interesting is that this pattern shows up in multiple contexts. So it's not just a pattern that was present in New Orleans during the hurricane. My colleague Eric Kleinenberg studied mortality in Chicago during a heat wave that struck in the mid-90s, and he found almost identical patterns to what I found analyzing mortality in New Orleans. And there are a number of factors at play here. One thing, I focus a lot of my work on neighborhoods, so one thing that stands out is that the location of the bodies that were found in the aftermath of the storm were overwhelmingly in the city's most racially segregated and poorest neighborhoods, okay? And this is where there was also the most structural damage to buildings and homes. And this is a product of a long history of public policies that have led to the segregation of African Americans in the low-lying neighborhoods of New Orleans. So this is not entirely surprising. It's consistent with what has been found in several other contexts. The risk to the elderly were a combination of this type of disadvantage, the inability to muster the resources to evacuate, or the inability to call on social networks to help evacuate. But then it also has to do with the isolation of the elderly. So there's very strong evidence that more and more of the elderly are living alone. This is particularly true in violent or very disadvantaged cities where the elderly are often unwilling to venture out into public space or to make it, extensive networks in the community, in the neighborhood. So these all lead to higher risk in the event of a disaster like Katrina.
So what long-term effects do you see with people who survived?
We don't quite know yet. We know that the economic shock was pretty severe for New Orleans residents. We know that the mental health and the physical health consequences are severe as well. One can only get, we can look at similar shocks across the world. We can look at what happens to children who experience extensive trauma in their environment due to war or due to other disasters in their environment. And we know that these impacts extend well later into life. We know that they affect cognitive development. They affect mental health. They affect physical health. So they show up in various domains of life. And I think the children in New Orleans are particularly at risk at this. It was not a quick shock to their system. It was an extended trauma. It is inevitable that the effects will be long-lasting and will be severe. So the question is really what resources are necessary, what extra resources are necessary to provide the type of mental health care, educational opportunities, economic opportunities for the population that was most severely affected.
Well, and even like you mentioned, the elderly and the blacks, it's one thing if you're getting a warning, but if you don't have a car to drive out, and like you say, if you don't have a place to go stay, what are you going to do?
Right. And it's not just a matter of resources or networks. It's also the history of what's happened in New Orleans. You know, the fact that the evacuation effort for Hurricane Ivan was just disastrous, and a substantial number of elderly actually died in the evacuation effort to Ivan. So this kind of gives you a context for how residents of New Orleans may have viewed these warnings about what was going to happen. There's a long history of riding out the storm in New Orleans and in other places. This is part of the culture there, and there's a history of distrust of public officials. So this all kind of combines to help explain why so many New Orleans residents chose to stick it out or had no other choice but to stick it out.
Stay. Yeah. Dr. Sharkey, I thank you so much. We've got to head out to a break, but I thank you for your time today.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator. You're with me on The Caring Generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Our program's not limited by time zone or location. Your out-of-town friends, family members, and loved ones can listen each week by visiting khow.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. Up next, we'll hear from a person who faced an unexpected situation, and she'll share her perspective on life.